today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the mayor of Las Vegas gets the award for strangest comments of the week, and we'll send you the we'll tell you the story of the last cruise ship on the high seas. It finished its travels and docked in Italy last Wednesday.
COVID-19 has shut down almost everything, including lots of outdoor opportunities. Now, this weekend is the beginning, or should be, of the trout season in parts of California. And we have our friend KFBK's fisherman and good buddy Bob Sims here to make you a smarter traveler at 320, telling you where you can go for outdoor recreation right now.
Our buddy Chris Elliott is trapped overseas with his three teenagers. He's still writing about travel and running his website, but right now he's stuck in Nice. Chris joins us from France at 3:35 to share a first-person story about being in a total virus lockdown. I wonder how many times Chris has slipped outside when he wasn't supposed to.
Our favorite travel advisor, Gwen Duncan of Cordially Yours Travel, comes in at 3:50. Going to discuss how the travel shutdown is impacting those who sell it and what happens to pricing when we can travel again.
Here to give you a break from virus updates, we are the Dreamers, the guys who take you on an adventure without you ever leaving your radio. Thanks for listening to Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want, one man, man.
I come from a land, land, land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, welcome. Hey there, friends. It is Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is at the Sports Leisure Vacations studios. Uh-huh. I'm in my home taking care of essential business. And here we are with another edition of the Travel Guys at the 5 o'clock hour. Now, we made room. We used to be on at 3, for those of you who are new listeners, but we've made room for the president to have that time. But today, I don't know, something about Purell. I'm not sure. I can't even repeat it.
Exactly.
Is why he's not here today. But we are, and we got a lot of good stuff. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with Bob Sims. I think you're going to enjoy that portion of the segment. Yeah. Mark, we're just in no time at all, we're going to may go through our very first, social distancing shut-in Mother's Day.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
That's only a couple weeks away, and I was thinking about the other day. Now, my mom passed a couple years ago, but there's going to be a lot of moms out there that, you know, if mom's in a senior living place, you may not even be able to touch mom or hug mom or whatever. I have an idea. Listen, as you know, I travel all over the place and buy things from purveyors of various tourism merchandise from all over the country. And some of it better than others. And so I have an idea. There is a lavender farm up in Washington State called Palinda Lavender. And they have some really wonderful, inexpensive products. I don't get a commission or anything. It's just, in fact, I was telling Tom before the show, they have this shave stuff, the silicone shave stuff that I use. But anyways, they have lots of wonderful products. I put their website on at travelguysradio.com. And if you're looking for something really unique, a wonderful gift for mom, and you can't go to see her, or you're not going to be able to go out to lunch or brunch or something like you usually do, send her. Ladies are big suckers for lavender products. Let me just tell you, Gwen Duncan's sitting across from me, Tom, and she's shaking her head. So, so anyway, if you want, travelguysradio.com, a very nice lavender farm, and I really vouch for their products, and you could get mom something really nice for $25 or $30 probably. So anyway, that's my commercial for Mother's Day. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. I finally got some tomato plants to put in the yard.
Yeah.
I've been spending as much time outdoors in my yard. And in enjoying that, I've also discovered, you know, as time goes on, you're finding more and more retailers that are doing curbside pickup, where you can pay in advance, drive up, make a call, they come out, throw it in the back of your car. my latest discovery, a couple of places. Lowe's is now doing it. But I'll tell you, a sweet little place, and they're a local company and deserve a shout-out, and that's the old famous Amy Hardware, spelled with an E-M-I-G-H over there off of El Camino. So kudos to them for doing a great job. Got much to talk about in the travel news? You want to get to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. And for those that are new to the show, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, whether there is travel news or not, we bring it to you. And with it, here's Mark.
All right. Survey says half of a recent survey commissioned by Value Penguin, which is a lending tree company, lends people money. Why they did a travel survey? This is interesting. But anyway, 48% of Americans say they have canceled their summer vacation plans because of the virus. Those 46% lost money on associated cancellation fees and non-refundable deposits, averaging almost $900 per person. Most of those losses came from airline tickets and room reservations or Airbnb. Boy, are they ever in hot water with some of the people they do business with. Anyways, about 50% of people say that they have canceled their reservations. About 20% of the people who canceled those said there are certain conditions under which they would consider traveling. The mayor of Las Vegas, my goodness. Now, listen, there's something that folks need to know. The mayor of Las Vegas, who had made some rather interesting comments last week, the city of Las Vegas doesn't include the Strip. So the Strip in Las Vegas is in an unincorporated area. And so when this lady was talking about reopening Las Vegas, she was only, and you're thinking about casinos and stuff, you're talking about the area downtown around the Golden Nugget and the Four Queens or Five Queens or however many queens are in that one hotel and the downtown area. That's in some of the assorted small independent casinos. She doesn't have the Strip within her jurisdiction. But anyway, Carolyn Goodman is her name, independent mayor of Las Vegas. You may have seen her on television last week. She had an interview with Anderson Cooper in which she kind of had him basically pretty much incredulous that she was talking about opening Las Vegas and without any real method or any plan for how you might social distance people in casinos and just saying, well, you know, we'll be the guinea pig. So if you want to be the guinea pig, head for Las Vegas, but make sure that you book downtown because the Strip may still be closed. Here's a cool story from Air Canada. They are allowing passengers to earn miles by donating miles. Aeroplan, which is Air Canada's loyalty partner, has created a plan where if you donate some of your miles, they will give you miles towards your elite status for next year. It's kind of a unique idea, and you would say, well, how can I do this? They are part of the United Group, so if you're a United person, then this might be something you can do, or if you're a Canadian traveler and you have some miles that you would like to donate, you can earn miles by donating. Go to travelguysradio.com, and you will see the link. California has awarded $38 million to enhance Amtrak's Pacific Surfliner service. This is the train that runs between San Luis Obispo or Santa Barbara and San Diego. There will be more frequencies. More of the trains will go all the way up to San Luis Obispo. The trains will be improved and some of the tracks will be improved so they don't have to share them with every freight train that comes down the track. There's some cool new airplane seat designs. Go to travelguysradio.com that might keep you from the virus. If you'll see there, the middle seat is the opposite direction. The opposite direction. And we've got some info on the last cruise ship at sea here. But Luis tells me we are just about out of time. So I will save that. And we'll talk about a little bit later on the last cruise ship, Doc Tom, in Italy last Wednesday, the last ship that was out on the high seas. And they made it home safely. And everybody is very well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
All righty. Bob Sims, Outdoor, and tells you where you can go and recreate. That's next on The Travel Guys.
News 93.1 KFBK. Available everywhere on the iHeartRadio.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, not doing a lot of traveling, but here to help make you a smarter traveler at our somewhat new time, 5 o'clock here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Been a while since we've had him on, but it's time to bring back the outdoors guy, Bob Sims from KFBK. And I know a lot of folks, one of the few things that we can do right now with the with the COVID-19 and the shut-in is once in a while get outside and do some stuff. Bob, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you both. It's nice to be back on the show.
Bob, to give us an idea, tell our listeners out here, we'd love to be able to know, we've been told kind of sort of what we can't do. If you've got anything to add to that list that you think people should know that's important with this COVID-19 situation, but maybe some things that people can do.
Unfortunately, it's a short list. If you like to get up in the woods, first of all, I mean, there's still a lot of snow in the mountains. But looking down from that, we have the problems because almost immediately, 220 state parks closed vehicular access to those parks, which to me was overkill. They didn't really try to create a venue for people that needed to get out, and therefore shoved everybody into more crowded situations. I mean, that's a lot of state parks to shut down. And then they've shut down some state parks along the coast completely. You can't even walk in. So that compounds the problems. And then all the lakes for fishing, just about every lake you can name, from Folsom Lake here in town to Lake Orville, of course, both of those are state parks, down at New Malonis, Comanche and Pardee, two very popular lakes, are closed down. They were some of the first to close because they're operated by the East Bay Utility District, East Bay Mud, and they're a water company, and recreation is a secondary nature, so they also took the easy way out rather than work with the community to try to allow at least some access. And that's the story up and down the state. So the lakes that are open are few, and they are crowded, like Lake Amador is open for fishing. They're limiting the number of boats to 50 per day there. Bullards Bar Reservoir up between Highway 49 and Orville, that's a rather large reservoir, and that's open. But that doesn't get a lot of crowds this time of year, mostly fishermen. And then you have to go up to Shasta Lake, which the Forest Service is trying to keep that open and patrolling and making sure that the social distancing is adhered to. And Whiskeytown Reservoir is open as well. And that's about it. I mean, in Lake County, Clear Lake, one of the best bass lakes in the country, not only did that close down early, the health officer for the county shut every body of water in the whole county down. So that's another example of overkill. So if you want to get out and go recreate, you're going to have to get creative.
Do you have, with that being said, help us out. What would you recommend?
The regional forester came out at the beginning of this and issued a blanket statement closing developed recreation sites without explaining to the public exactly what a developed recreation site was. Well, the bottom line is it's campgrounds for the traveler. So all Forest Service and just about every place else, campgrounds are shut down, but the national forests are not shut down. Most of them aren't. In other words, you can go on the trails and everything, but does that include you can go off in some back road in a national forest and go camping? You're going to have to check with the individual national forest, and my guess is most of them will say that's appropriate as long as you we don't run into, you know, the fire season and everything else.
What about the RVers?
Well, I mean, you could apply the same principles that we just talked about, finding a place in a national forest, and you can do that with an RV. Of course, you better be self-contained because there's not going to be any hookups. Now, there's a few RV campgrounds around the state that have stayed open. But these are usually for longer-term RV sites, you know, people that come in and stay a month. so they don't have a constant turnover. So it's a very fine line in there. You're going to have to do some checking and check with non-government campgrounds. So, I mean, I would let the North Coast out of the question because most of those are state campgrounds. So you have to be creative. And if you do have an RV, you probably have quite a list of places on your bucket list, so to speak, and it's time to start checking those non-government destinations.
My neighbors next door, I saw them come home with their fishing poles. We live close to the American River, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, thinking to myself, because I think I had just heard the day before that the fishing season had been postponed. And by all intents and purposes, Bob, were they breaking the law, was to going down to the old American River there and throwing a line in?
Not at all. The fishing season was closed for Alpine County, Mono County, and Inyo County. All three counties are on the east side of the Sierra. And this Saturday, April 25th, is the opening of the traditional trout season in those counties, and as well as many areas in the rest of the state. But they get swarmed with Bay Area and L.A. people. I mean, thousands and thousands. Well, first of all the campgrounds are closed. All the restaurants are closed. Lodging is at a minimum. And it's like Mono County has 17 hospital beds in the whole county. So you can see what they're afraid of. So they requested of the Department of Fish and Wildlife to shut it down, and they just got the okay.
So they're basically going to postpone the start of the trout season.
Right. They're going to postpone it till May 1st, at least for now.
Bob, before we let you go, one last question. What do you think the long-term effect is going to be as a result of this, and especially on those mom-and-pop little bait shops and so forth that I'm assuming probably are closed?
Yeah, they are closed. I mean, a lot of them are, and it's going to be like any small business. It's going to be devastating in a lot of cases. I think we're going to lose some businesses there. They just can't shut down for a couple of months and continue on. A lot of them will. A lot of them have planned. I mean, just like every small business, some will make it, some will not. But when this ends, and it's not going to end in one fell swoop, as we all know, it's going to be a gradual reopening. I think you're going to see people chomping at the bit to get outside. You just can't keep people cooped up like that forever. And they're already chomping at the bit to get outside. So I think when it does reopen, we're going to have to use every bit of caution that we're using now to make sure this thing doesn't start spreading again.
Bob, thanks so much for taking some time out to join us here on the Travel Guys. I know that you're quite the hunter-fisher guy. Get out. This has got to be especially tough on you. Remind folks.
Driving me crazy.
I would imagine. Remind folks when and where they can hear the outdoor show with Bob.
Every Saturday morning between 5 and 8 on KFBK 1530 AM and 93.1 FM.
Which is right where you're listening. Okay, thanks, Bob.
My pleasure.
All right, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and Bob is, as he mentioned, Mr. Outdoors, and has been. I think Bob very well could have been the longest running show on KFBK that I can remember. I mean, he's been there for, gosh, a long time, and he's kind of a one-man show. Bob will come into the radio station on a Friday, and he will dial up all of his great interviews with the people that provide him information in regards to outdoors and put it all together and run his own board. Pretty amazing all in all. Mark, we got about 2 minutes or just under that before we run out of time here. If you're still connected and you're still there, I know that you had...
I am here. Thomas, check your phone there, your FaceTime, and see if you are muted.
Thank you. There I go.
You're welcome. It's those folks who have been watching cable television the last few weeks know that you can watch them doing it from their living room and the like. and you can hear the little snafus. Well, we're kind of sort of doing the same thing. Tom's in one place, Gwen and I are in another, Luis is in another, so we can't see each other. And Tom and I have created this FaceTime hookup so that. But if we forget to log, yeah, no, it's really.
There you go.
Yeah, it's different. Hey, listen, a couple of little things here. United Airlines wants all their passengers to wear masks. So, you know, if you're going to the airport at this point, I'm going to say probably wear a mask. There's not all that many people out there anyway. Tom, we got a nice note from Alicia, the gal we had on last week, who was the executive director of the California Restaurant Association. She if you remember last week, she was talking about how they had a fund to help out folks from restaurants who were kind of in hard times, and I made an offer to make a $1,000 donation or match up to $1,000. We got quite a number of donations, she said, during and right after the program, and she was very appreciative of that. So for those of you who took the time to go to restaurantcares.com and make a donation, thank you very much, and you were matched every dollar, about a dollar and a half for a dollar, in fact.
Very good. Very good. Way to go, Mark. All right. Coming up after the news break, Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, joins us all the way from Nice. Talk about what it's like in France being shut in. That's next on the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Hey there. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, not doing much traveling and doing our best to try to entertain you a little bit here on the radio. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and over the last few weeks, we've been trying to keep you up to date with consumer advocate Chris Elliott. He and his family went to Europe back at the first of the year. They're going to go to Italy. I don't think that ever happened. And if you've been following along, Chris and his kids have ended up in France. Mark, bring Chris on, and let's get up to date. Everybody, we know we have a core audience that wants to know how he's doing and what's happening with Chris Elliott.
Our very own man wandering the globe, maybe not intending to wander the globe. Chris, welcome back.
Hey there. Bonjour.
You've been in France now for how long?
Well, about a month and a half. Yeah, we got here in early March.
You there may be a market for a new series of Chris Elliott travel guides, you know, the really getting down to the third and fourth level in little French cities. You've got three teenagers, so a lot of us over here are getting a little challenged in finding things to do and stuff like that. You're in a foreign country, yourself, three teenagers. You're trying to run a business, of course, remotely and be a consumer advocate and take care of your website and all that stuff. So, Chris Elliott, give us an update on what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. We're in Nice, France. So we are in the south of the country. It's a beautiful city right along the Mediterranean. It's about a half an hour drive from Monte Carlo, and then beyond that, Italy. We were on our way to Italy, and, you know, Italy, as you remember, you know, parts of it became red zones, and then the whole country became a red zone. And so we detoured to here. We thought, you know, we'll be here maybe a month at the most, and then we can keep traveling. But it turned into much more than that. I mean, France really took this coronavirus thing seriously. They closed the museums the day after we got here, and then they closed the restaurants, the open-air markets, and then they started setting up police checkpoints in the streets. You had to have papers when you went out. You had to have a signed attestation that basically says, I'm going to the grocery store, and you had to sign it. You had to put the time that you were going out. You can't be out for more than 1 hour if you're exercising. They do allow you 1 hour to exercise, and there's an 8 p.m. curfew. So we've been kind of stuck in an apartment 23 hours a day for the last 37 days.
Do you still have three children?
No, we're down to two now, actually. No.
You ate one.
Yeah, kind of a daughter
we were
party
hungry.
Sort of thing.
No.
Decide which one you like. Which one has the most potential, and take it from there.
That's right. Well, we had to make it. It was a difficult decision, but you know. No, I have three kids. Two boys, ages 17 and 15, and a girl who was 13. And they are taking it really remarkably well. They're all homeschooled. Two of them are at the University of Arizona. They're juniors. And then the youngest is in ninth grade. And she works with a tutor and does a lot of independent study. And they just decided that they were going to make the best of it. So they've been doing their schoolwork. They've been studying languages. My sons are working on their French, and they also are studying Portuguese and Japanese and Spanish and, you know, whatever. They just have nothing but time. So they're just doing whatever they can to keep themselves busy. So it hasn't been that bad from a point of view. The nice thing about being with teenagers is that, you know, you're never going to go hungry. They are always running off to the store to buy food. So we have a fully stocked pantry. So I, of course, have been gaining some weight.
So, Chris, what is the you now know? I was going to say, you know, niece like the back of your hand, but maybe you don't, because you haven't really been able to get out and move around. Tell us, you're in another country across an ocean. What's the reaction from the other side of the ocean?
Yeah, I actually, to answer your first question, I have been able to explore Nice. It's a beautiful city. If you can ever make it here, especially during the spring, it's just lovely. The orange trees are in blossom, and it just smells so nice. You walk along the streets. The problem is you can only be within a 1 kilometer radius of your home. And you know, the police, of course, all know, they know the neighborhoods very well. So if you have your street address is in one district and they catch you outside that, they will give you a stern talking to. So I've been caught by the police about 5 times now, because I'm really curious and I want to, you know, explore. And they've caught me well outside my 1 kilometer radius and have sent me back. If they catch you too many times, you will get fined, but I haven't gotten fined yet. So knock on wood, that will not happen. In terms of what they think of us, I have spoken with some people from Nice about this, and I think that they're really, you know, I don't want to get too political, but I think they're really kind of scratching their heads about how we are dealing with the coronavirus. They see how our country is so divided. France, everyone is taking it seriously. But in the United States, it's almost like it's two different countries. You have one side of the country that's taking it very seriously, doing all these lockdowns. And then on the other side, you know, they're opening the beaches in a place like Florida and calling coronavirus a hoax. And that they really don't understand that. They don't know why we're doing it. They don't understand even the kind of reasoning behind all that. And, you know, frankly, I'm as an observer from France, looking back home to the States, I don't really get some of the things that are going on right now.
Chris, when you get out, do you see a lot of folks out? Is everybody wearing masks? And then second question, kind of run together there. Are the people of France and the area that you're in, are they anticipating any kind of change, any kind of opening up? Are there any dates set? What do you have?
Yeah. Our opening date now is May 11th, so we would expect the opening to be a lot like Italy's opening, where they open up some of the bookstores and clothing stores, and then maybe by June, the restaurants will start to open with some social distancing. But we have about a little more than 150,000 cases in France right now, and they're just not taking any chances. They're being very, very cautious. However, this is southern France, so there are some interesting things that are going on here. The southern French maybe are not quite as uptight as the folks up north. And so you have, every now and then you'll be walking and you'll see a bar that's open and there are people inside, you know, enjoying a beer and a cigarette. And there was a chocolate store that opened a couple of days ago and then closed. Chocolate is not one of those essential items, so they were supposed to be closed. So they're not taking
depends it, on your point of you know, view, probably.
They're just signs of resistance.
They are the French, after all.
Well, yes, exactly, exactly. Resistance, and of course, all the bakeries are open. If you need to go get a loaf of bread or a pastry, this is the place to do it. So it's very, it's very French, obviously.
What's going on at Elliott Advocacy? I mean, you've watched all of these. We've only lost one regional airline and one third-party booking site, but who knows who else is hanging by the skin of their teeth. Do you have any across-the-ocean wisdom for any of our travelers here in terms of, we're starting to see some pretty inexpensive travel packages pop up now, almost in the too-good-to-be-true department. What do you have any wisdom for folks in terms of how they move forward with travel from here?
Yeah, I mean, most of the people who wanted refunds have already gotten them. And so we know who the good guys and the bad guys are. The good guys are the ones who are giving all the refunds as they are supposed to, in some cases, as required by law. And the bad guys are the ones who are trying to, the other day I saw an airline that tricked someone into canceling their flight and then gave them a voucher that was good for 2 years, which is just, reprehensible. And you can understand why the airline is doing it. They want to hold on to your cash, but obviously you are entitled to a full refund if a flight is canceled.
The thing we're finding is that these are the times when you gain customers and also times when you lose customers forever. And if a situation gets tough, you got somebody's money and they want it and you owe it to them and you give it to them promptly with a smile on your face, then that person is not only going to be your customer for a long time, they're going to tell everybody they know how you handled that situation. And it's going to make a huge difference. Yeah. I wish I could just take some of these people and just shake them a little bit and say, if you've got the money to send to these people, why are you playing games with them? Just let the customer have what they want, and then you've got them forever.
I completely agree with you. So what I'm telling and what my advocates are telling people is pursue a refund through all methods that you can, starting with asking and ending with the dreaded nuclear option, which is the credit card dispute. And that seems to be working well. In terms of the future, no one knows what the future holds. I did a story for the Washington Post about 2 weeks ago on how to tell if your travel company is about to go out of business. And since then, we've had a couple of bankruptcies and insolvencies. And I expect us to have some more. If you see a deal that's too good to be true, my advice would be really look very carefully. Make sure that it's a company that you know and trust. If it's some fly-by-night operation, it probably is not too, it is too good to be true, and you shouldn't do it, because a lot of these companies are just doing whatever they can to get cash right now, including offering things that they know they're never going to be able to make good on because they'll be out of business probably.
Chris Elliott, all the way from France, staying safe. Thank you so much, Chris. Any final words for our audience before we let you go?
Thanks. Yeah, everyone stay safe and au revoir.
How would you like to be trapped for a month and a half with three teenagers in this? I think there's more to this story than he's letting on. I just for the record, yeah. I just want to say that. And one of them is a girl and two of them are boys. So you can't tell me that they're not, that there's not some near murders going on in that building during
13.
over 13 month and a half. Sitting across from me, Tom, is Gwen Duncan, who is going to join us in this next segment here. And we're going to talk. Gwen, of course, is a travel advisor. Mark is a tour operator. So Gwen is kind of on the front line of the retail travel business. And when we come back after this break, we're going to talk to her about what's going on there. And more importantly, we know a lot's going on, but what are people saying? When are they going to start traveling again? And when they do, what does she think they're going to do? We'll get expertise from Gwen Duncan of Cordially Yours Travel next on The Travel Guys.
Here to make you a smarter traveler. We are the travel and entertainment guys, not traveling a lot, but going to spend some time talking about what it's going to be like when we get back to traveling, what kind of deals are going to be out there, and what's been going on with those poor travel agents. Can you imagine being in the travel business right now? Well, Mark, my partner with Sports Leisure Vacations, and our special guest, Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, I can't think of anybody that's been, except for maybe the restaurants, but I even then has been squeezed as hard as you guys.
Yeah, you know, and Gwen's even getting squeezed here today. For those of folks who are new to the program, Tom's in his studio at his house. Mark's in the palatial million-dollar studio at the Sports Leisure Vacations corporate headquarters here on off of Folsom Boulevard, where Gwen Duncan is sitting across from me right now, and the connection on her headphone is kind of bad, so Gwen is having to kind of hold the headphone in her head and the cord in a certain position so that she can hear all of us. So, yes, it's quite a facility that we have, quite a broadcast facility we have here, isn't it, Gwen? To say that this has been, well, let's screw it.
Depressing.
Exactly. People say, well, these interesting times that we're in, I say we're fighting a virus. Forget the interesting times. We're fighting a virus.
Yes.
You don't have to say in these difficult times. In these unusual times, we're fighting a virus. It's real easy.
That's true.
It's and the virus is doing better against the travel industry than just about anybody.
Well, it couldn't happen to a worse industry.
We have it the best when we have it, when things are going well. We get to take people places and make dreams come true and share in that often.
I think the hard part is that many of us, we work really hard to get, bring in clients, help them. We're advising them and everything. And then you finally book them and everything seems like it's going great. Then the virus happens and then you're busy doing a lot of stuff like canceling trips, explaining to them policy, ever-changing policies.
Yeah.
And why did so-and-so get something that's now
changed? Oh, that must have been really fun to be a travel advisor with the airlines doing this. Well, okay, it's good from a year after you bought it, and then people saying, but I want a cash refund. And then the airline's saying, well, wait a minute, it's good for 2 years after you bought it. And then
you have to travel on us.
Yeah, exactly. And never mind that, the people might not be healthy or might not, they've decided not to go to that destination.
But you know what's complicated at Morris? Right now, economy is really bad. Some of these families really want the money back. They can't travel. They want their money.
Oh, yeah, because, see, a lot of people's situation has changed.
Doing vouchers. So they give you some really good incentive to get a voucher.
Uh-huh.
Now, we had about 70%. I just surveyed my 28 agents, and 70% of their clients canceled, took it in the shorts. When you cancel, you lose your insurance. If you paid for insurance, you got a penalty. Some of them went
in with most companies. You do, yes, that's
yeah,
very
yeah,
true.
Yeah. But if they wait and then the vendor cancels, we've talked about this before, then they get all kinds of things. 125% of a voucher,
mm-hmm.
so they can spend money. But so we don't know what's going
to
happen.
That's
the
incentive that some of the voucher people have started to do. Is the tour operators in particular have said, here's 110% or 120% towards a future trip. But then
problem,
yeah,
is that it's probably going to be more expensive.
That's very true.
And so where you thought you were going to get an outside cabin, and you think if you're going on a cruise and you say, hey, I'll get maybe this will get me a mini suite or something.
No.
And we talked about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the cruising got hit really bad, obviously. But you're going to see prices go down. I really believe that.
You think cruise prices will be a bargain next
year? I think
they're
going to be a real bargain just to fill the ships. They're going to have to find those risk takers.
But we're also seeing that of, and this blew me away when I saw these numbers, that people who are cruisers, they're ready to go.
They're ready.
Yeah.
They're ready.
You couldn't get me on a cruise ship to save your life,
but
and I sell travel.
But
these people are dedicated. They're going to get some incredible deals.
They're going to get incredible deals. But I really truly believe, and you and I talked about this, dynamic pricing, and you're going to see like you do on the Spirit and stuff like that in the airlines, where you get the cheapest price,
uh-huh.
and then everything you want is going to cost more, and they're going to get you.
Gwen and I were speculating before the show started that what the cruise lines were probably going to do was a continuation of their current policy, which is try to get a loss leader price to get you on board, lowering that price for the cruise to something that's just phenomenal, but it's like buying a basic economy seat on an airplane.
Yeah, but most of that isn't going to happen until probably late 2021, maybe into 2022. Nobody knows what's going on. So I see, from my survey, most people want to do domestic travel. They want to drive somewhere. They're not going to be flying.
Yes, Thomas.
Gwen, here again, this is what you do. You've got to have some, not just people calling and canceling, but calling and saying, what are the deals? What kind of cruise can you get me on? What kind of
is that happening? Kind of are people just canceling? Are they, or to Tom's
what
point,
kind of
are
travel
they
travel or people booking?
They're canceling or they're rescheduling for next year, assuming it's going to still travel.
So what percentage would you say of the people who have booked with you and your agents are rescheduling?
About
30%. Okay. What we found here at Sports Leisure Vacations is it's running about 50%.
Yeah.
Although the deeper we've gotten into things, and therefore the more uncertainty lies ahead, the numbers have gone down. But we haven't given people incentives. We've just said, if that's what you'd like to do, we'd be happy to. And now I kind of feel like I'm going to do my very best to hold the price line for those people who rolled over to try to make sure
but most people are wanting to do domestic. They want to drive somewhere.
People are going to be more
conservative. They want to see their family and friends. They've been locked up.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is that when they go see someplace, they want to be able to come back home. Let's see here. Where are your clients? You've talked about you think your people are going to stay closer to home?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've had people already.
So how does a travel advisor make money when somebody gets in their car and goes on vacation?
Bingo.
Or they fly to San Diego.
And you can't be guaranteed the flights are going to go because they've reduced flights. The lift is worse.
Yeah.
And they could be planning a trip to Hawaii. They'll go domestic Hawaii, Alaska, maybe. We've got people planned for that, but there's still that quandary. They're buying insurance.
Did you see the last cruise ship on the seas finally got to Italy the other day?
That thing's been off since January.
Well, they have. They were supposed to go. I mean, they were intentionally off since January. But for the last month, nobody would let them dock. So they came all the way from Australia and made their way all the way back to Italy, fairly close to where they
all left. At sea days.
Yeah, a month at sea. My goodness. But, but they didn't have sick people on the boat.
Yeah, that's the miracle.
The ship, excuse me.
The boat,
they tell me the boat is the thing they lower when the ship starts to sink. Yeah. Okay, so we've got about a minute here. What would you like to say to somebody who is a traveler and is sitting there right now and they're listening to us and they're thinking, what do these people say about when to travel? What do you have to say about, the virus and the whole, just what you know?
They are anticipating there's going to be another round of this flu stuff coming up. And all the cruise ships, most of them are not sailing the rest of this year.
Okay.
They've said, some of them have extended to like June or July. That's because we do sell a lot of cruises. But most of the tour operators aren't making any plans until 2021.
Now, see, we're hoping to get some regional here at Sports Leisure Vacations. We've canceled everything to mid-July. So we're hoping to get some things, regional trips on the road, and maybe some Canadian things. It's just, it's all wait and see.
But for you, it's very difficult because your clientele are mature.
Yep, they are. And more of them fit into those categories. So it's got to be safe. There can't be new cases breaking out.
Yeah, so it's just every day you find out something different.
One day, absolutely.
It's safety, fear, and then safety.
Thank you, Gwen. You're going to come back next week and talk to us a little bit about some other aspects of this. So thank you for your expertise. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Luis, for doing a great job in the studio. Once again, someday we'll see you. Thomas, nice to talk to you down the road. And we'll talk to you next week, I guess. Dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, you stay well, and we'll see you next time here on the Travel Guys at 5.